Don't judge a book by its cover. Many of us have heard the old adage, but how many of us actually live by it? Do we accept things as they appear, or do we go beyond what is on the surface? Jed May of the Red and Black was faced with a similar situation when he noticed a strange-looking structure hiding behind those buildings and trees that line Baxter Street.
I was in the newsroom one day, and I was just looking at the window, daydreaming or something. I saw this, like, a little corner of the school building. You can see where to the visitors. You can see a little, like, where the numbers would be. And I was like, hey, you know, what's that over there?
Oh, that? That's just some 60-year-old, rusted-out, yet surprisingly sturdy, mammoth scoreboard nestled in some trees in a deserted parking lot. Oh, and by the way, it has also seen some of the most important games in Georgia football history.
It saw three SEC titles. It saw the 1959 game in Sanford Stadium against Auburn where Fran Tarkenton draws up play in the dirt and, you know, throws a touchdown back across the field to give Georgia an SEC title. The last game that it was in Sanford Stadium for was 1978.
How did you come across a guy like Bob Rushton?
So I work with a guy named Dan Evans. With stories like this, he's, you know, usually the first guy I go to just to see if he knows anybody. And I asked him about it one day, and he said, I know the perfect guy.
Bob was indeed that perfect guy. A UGA alum, Bob Rushton grew up a Bulldog thanks to his dad. What started as a bond between a father and his son over football quickly became something that would impassion Bob for the rest of his life.
It's part of my history as a person. It's part of my history with my dad. And it's certainly part of the history of the University of Georgia. And it's also part of the history of the time that I was coaching here in Athens.
I want you to describe the look of the scoreboard through your eyes.
Well, the look of the scoreboard to a six-year-old boy from Dexter, Georgia, where they didn't play football. And the biggest scoreboard was probably in the gymnasium, which would probably be 2 feet by 6 feet. It was just unbelievably big. And it sat at the end of a valley where there were 40,000 people watching a football game. Well, there weren't 40,000 people in Middle Georgia at that time.
Why is history so important to you? And why should it be important to kids today?
Well, there's an old saying that history repeats itself. I don't think that'll ever be the scoreboard again by any means. But I think that in order to understand, you know, where we were and where we've come to, that you have to understand history.
Jed and I decided to go visit the scoreboard with Bob.
Oh, wow.
Dad and I came to the first ball game that I remember when I was 6 years old, and obviously that was the scoreboard. I don't even think it had some of the electronics in it that it had later on. I think it was just totally two guys back there putting up the numbers and keeping up with things.
It would be appropriate to say here, don't judge a scoreboard by its rust and weathering, but the scoreboard isn't the only book in this story. There's more than meets the eye when it comes to Bob as well.
Well, I had a great relationship with Hamilton Jordan when he was here in college. He and I were freshmen together, and obviously he and Jody Powell were right and left hands for the president.
If you're taking notes at home, that's Special Ambassador for President Jimmy Carter.
And there were some opportunities that arose where they needed somebody to go into certain situations, the first one being South Africa. The second opportunity was to the Philippines, and then finally the Panama Canal, when the Panama Canal Treaty was going down.
Such an experience would constitute a lifetime for some, but Bob didn't stop there. He was later a Miss America judge alongside the late Sports Illustrated and NPR great Frank DeFord.
Miss America is a fabulous organization. I think due to my relationship with the JCs, President Carter, and I had been chairman of the local pageant, and I just looked good on TV, I guess. First or second night there, I was hungry, and I wanted to go down and get a ham and cheese sandwich or something to eat. Well, they wouldn't let me leave my room as a judge. And I said to the security guy, I said, y'all not worried about me getting with these girls, I know. You know, they're 20 years younger than I am. And he said, no, we're worried about you getting with the chaperones of the girls. I said, okay, well, get me a ham and cheese sandwich and a glass of milk, and I'll stay at my room.
Let's get back to the scoreboard.
When I've talked to you before, you mentioned you brought your dad down to kind of where the scoreboard is now. You just kind of sat with him and relived the games that you'd been to before. How special was that moment for you?
I had no idea at that time how important that moment would be, because that stadium would never look the same again. And there are pictures of people sitting on the railroad track. There are pictures of people sliding down the hill next to the stands that are there now. You know, there are those kind of remembrances. But to actually have sat there with your dad and reminisced about those ball games.
Listen close. That banging noise you're about to hear, that's Bob's fist hitting our desk. The man is passionate about UGA.
His love for the university, I can't tell you how much my dad loved this place. It's the reason he retired close to here. It's damn sure the reason I retired here. It was a bond that was to never be broken. I would say this to you and every college student because I didn't take advantage of it. My dad and I talked about football, but I wish I'd talked to him more about World War II and some other things that are gone forever. And my dad was on the occupational troops in Japan. I mean, nobody living that was in that group. And now all that knowledge that he had is gone because I failed to ask about it because I wanted to talk about football, which is typical of the Georgia fan, I guess you might say.
Bob treasures the University of Georgia and the memories it afforded him. The university isn't just a place of learning, similar to how the scoreboard isn't just an antique of a forgotten era. And Bob isn't just a bulldog.
Who is Georgia's biggest rival to you?
Well, it'll always be Tech because you have to live with those nerds 365 days out of the year. And they, going back to my generation, see, engineers were in high demand and they had this high value on themselves. I started my business and I had to borrow money. I had a pot to pee in. And I needed $800,000 to build my first shopping center. And the guy I had to borrow that money from worked for Trust Company of Georgia. His name was Wade Mitchell, who played quarterback at Georgia Tech. Now, my chances are somewhere. I probably got the money because I went in there with the attitude. Everybody else has turned me down. This is going to be a short, quick trip. And this adds to what I was talking about. I borrowed the money. He lent me the money. I paid it back. And I said, Wade, why in the hell did you lend me that money? You know I hate Georgia Tech with a passion. And I got to see you play and don't like you because you're a Tech guy. I said, why in the hell did you lend me the money? He said, because you had a degree from the University of Georgia. And my dad and mother both graduated from here and obviously married or I wouldn't be here. Both of them instilled this deep love for the University of Georgia. It really had nothing to do with football. It had to do with the fact that the University of Georgia gave my family a one-up in life.
Special thanks to Jed May of the Red and Black for his collaboration on this piece. And, of course, to Bob Rushton. For WUGA, I'm Garrett Michael.